How are we doing? Welcome back under the cosh, Nicky Weaver part two. It's here. We've arrived. But before we get going, it'd be rude not to mention the live show coming up very soon. Thursday, the 11th of October. Tickets are now available on the Twitter page and the Facebook page. There's a link there direct through to the booking site. 20 quid a ticket. That's not bad, is it? Especially when you consider all the profits are going to charity. And I just found out there's a £10 free bet as well with every ticket. So, technically, theoretically, it's only a tenner a ticket, if you're wise with it. And maybe you can get a couple of tips for dogs off Brownie and you'll be getting paid to come. You'd be daft not to. Especially when you consider Jamie Hoyland and Chris Morgan as our first guest, hardest man in football, according to Parky. It's going to be a really good night, so get on the page, get your tickets now. Right, without further ado, Nicky Weaver part two. Right, that, isn't it? You both talked about, you know, specifically in the early 90s, early 2000s, when there's a shift in the game, a lot more foreign lads are coming in, and we're looking more at the nutrition and all that stuff. But there's still, at that time, a drinking culture. It's still prevalent at that time. But did you ever get any foreign lads that came in and just embraced that English way of life and embraced that drinking culture?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of foreign lads, you get your sort of, your French lads aren't really drinkers.
Yeah.
A few of your Scandinavian boys will, and Dutch lads and Germans and all that will have a drink. I mean, Didier Mann, he come to City. He's a boy, like, proper English lad, like, loved a bit of cricket, bit of rugby league, all that sort of thing. Like to drink, just a normal bloke, you know. But just English, like, you're thinking he's playing at World Cup final, he's won Champions League and all this, been at Liverpool for years, and Bayern Munich, all there, Newcastle and all that. Just a regular lad, but an absolute brilliant player. Never seen him give it away. And you don't realise sometimes how good these players are until you sort of play with them and see them every day in training. But someone like him, he was like a throwback to 80s because he lived his life like someone in 80s, you know. And obviously, he was in that era where it was sort of that transitional sort of era.
Yeah.
Like me and Parky will tell you, he sort of, when we started, it was still a big, you know, there were no sports scientists and dietitians and all that crap. That's all like a new thing over the last sort of 10 or 15 years.
You had a night out, you had to just fucking run your bollocks off to get the night out of you.
Yeah.
The Christmas do, you'd go out Saturday all day, Sunday, off Monday. In Tuesday, it was a fucking proper slap, weren't it? Proper session. You're like, sweat weekend out of you. You're like, fucking hell, five, take me 3 weeks, sweat that out of us.
Yeah, yeah.
But it would, you used to train Monday. It's Tuesday, we're like running day.
Yeah.
We'd train and then like running club after, and then you'd have Wednesday off, wouldn't it?
Mm.
And then it would just, you know, you played hard and worked hard sort of thing. And then it obviously, I remember, I think, round about 2000 is we brought our first ever fitness coach in, a Colombian guy. He was just been manager of Mexico, actually, at World Cup. A guy called Juan Carlos Osorio.
Oh, yeah.
Easy for you to say. I like Juan, just the one I wanted to see. But he was the first one who sort of, we're doing all these stretches, and he's talking about eating, like, ostrich eggs and all this shit. And you're like, you what? And it was just like, it was the first time we'd ever sort of seen it. So that were like 2000-ish, that, so 2001 maybe. So that's less than 20 years ago, isn't it? And it's sort of like that big transition then, and all the sort of, you know, Arsene Wenger had been here a good few years at that time, and just the mentality started to change then. Obviously, the money in the Premier League then were getting bigger, and the sort of mentality started to change then, and the sort of the drink culture started to sort of drift away.
Do you have to look at that differently now, though? Because you're both doing your badges, but, you know, you're saying there were major benefits from back in the day, all going out, having a laugh, great for morale. So is there any place for that culture, that lifestyle?
The thing is, I think there's a lot to be said for it. I really do. I mean, I might just be fucking old-fashioned, but a good night out with all the lads is as important as a training session in the respect. If you go out on a Saturday night, so you've got the game Saturday, so the lads are looking forward to the night. Everyone comes into the game Saturday afternoon fucking buzzing and excited. Play the game, and you're in a good mood before you get to the game, so everyone's happy. Go out Saturday night, you get in Monday morning, and everyone's talking about the Saturday night. And everyone goes into work Monday morning buzzing again, you know what I mean? Like, she was nice, weren't she? Yeah, not bad. Did you take her back? I fucking did, I. You know what I mean? But that's how it were, and it got like, you were excited, and everyone were talking. I mean, now, mobile phones now have killed a dressing room. Lads will sit there and just, nobody's talking.
They don't communicate now, young lads. Yeah. Our young lads at the club under 18s, they have to hand the phones in the morning. So they actually talk to each other in the dressing room. If not, they'd be just all sat there with their head down, looking at the phones.
Everyone's just fucking liking on Instagram, liking birds. Swiping
left or right, don't you?
What about nutrition side of it as well, though? Because obviously it's well more than prevalent in modern game.
Yeah, I think when you look at the top players, not just footballers, but, you know, athletes, they all these, you know, they go vegan, don't they, and things like that, and it's just, they do anything to try and find that little edge. You get some lads who aren't bothered, even now at top level, you get some lads who are just naturally fit, they're natural, but you get other lads who then right buy into it, and they're measuring everything out when they're cooking stuff and all that, so a lot depends on the individual, but the culture's just changed massively now, and certainly, you talk about drinking, there's a time and a place, isn't there, and it's when you've got a few days off, or it's international weekend, or whatever, then by all means go and enjoy yourself, but now, when I were playing, up until last sort of 5 or 6 or 7 years of my career, I'd go out on a Saturday night and it didn't enter me head if we had a game on a Tuesday. Where sort of towards the end of your career, like, well, I best take it steady now, I've got a game on Tuesday. So I won't go out on a Saturday then. Yeah. But like early on in your career.
Still go out Sunday, but
yeah, go out on Sunday.
You just won't go out Saturday and Sunday.
Saturday night, yeah. But yeah, so it's sort of like it changes, and as you get older, I don't know if Parky feels the same, but you get more professional as you get older, because you know when you're young, you don't get tight hamstrings and things like that. You just get up, get on with it. You don't need a stretch. As you get older, you've got to look after your body a bit more, as you can see by the great man sat beside me.
Obviously,
that's somebody to look after.
I've obviously never took heed of that.
You know what I mean? I know what you mean. I mean, I used to go out every Wednesday night, student night in Barnsley. But, right? And this was a proper night out, this was a 4 or 5 o'clock night out. And I'll get up for work at 7 o'clock.
Can't do that now, though, can you? It's all drummed out at an early age.
Yeah, I mean, you look in the academies now, you know, they do a video analysis under nines. I don't know, it was just a big social thing, wasn't it? Mm. You know, I mean, you'd have a few pints in players' lounge after a game.
Yeah.
That's unheard of now. Having a drink in players' lounge, you're like, you what? That's what happened, though. You'd have a couple of pints in players' lounge.
Sheffield Wednesday were the best because it were free.
Yeah, it used to be free. Parky went one game and they suddenly changed that policy. He drank them dry.
Get on the coach like, fucking hell, fire.
They did an Adam Wingy asking for a contract.
But you see, it's all just changed and they've been drummed in now and it's such a fitness based game now when it weren't then. You know, you look back to actually Jan Molby, for example, who was at Primary, a big lad, sat in set, never really moved out at centre circle, but good player. You can't do that now. You've got to be up, down. If you're midfield, you've got to be box to box. You've got to be fit. You're in gym and doing all these gym programs. But
you used to have a couple of pints in the players' lounge with the lads you just played against. You know what I mean? It weren't just in your tier. It were a camaraderie within football as well, a little bit. You were injured, did you used to go out more when you were injured?
Well, sort of, but I got to the point where it was really serious, my knee. I'd had two operations in England and then neither of them worked. Physio sort of took me for a walk round. Pitchers at training ground, he says, listen, we really don't know what's going on inside your knee. So I'm thinking, fucking hell, you're meant to know, because you ask physio what's wrong and they're meant to tell you.
Yeah.
So surgeon had been in twice, not fixed it. My knee's ballooning up, I couldn't train. You're like, I couldn't bend my knee. I'm thinking, fucking hell. I'm sort of 23 at the time, you know, and then he's saying, we're going to have to send you to America. So you know it's serious when you're going to stay. So I went over to America. Cut a long story short, I had two operations over there which were unsuccessful, but they had to do them before they touched on this big operation I had, which was having a dead man's cartilage inserted into my knee. So when it became apparent I needed this surgery, I had to wait for a donor, because it was someone similar size, similar build.
Right, yeah.
I had to wait for, someone
to die.
So it's
in America?
Yeah, because they have like donor banks, don't they, and stuff. So it rather Christmas. It weren't.
You must have been waiting long if you did it. Find a man same size.
not in America. Fucking hell, by it.
It weren't all bad news though, because we decided, I think, early December that I needed this operation. So manager let me go to Mexico for a couple of weeks. Went to Cancun for 2 weeks before Christmas.
Senor Frogs.
Anyway, come back January. Went back to America. Had this big operation. When I had it done, I realised how serious it were. I'm sort of 24, 25 at the time, perhaps 25 maybe, and I didn't have a drink for a year.
Yeah,
worst year of my life. Like,
his knee felt fine, but he's suicidal.
Okay, no. But I got to a point where I thought, if I have to retire here, I can't look back and have any regrets, because I thought I was going to have to retire. Got to a point where I was informing my insurers
on a monthly basis where my progress were, because we thought we were going to have to make a claim. I even went to America once just for a scan to see if I could actually train. So I was lucky I was at a club like City who would sort of pay for me to do all that. The operation I had, they didn't do in Europe at the time. I was first British footballer to have that particular operation. And it saved my career at mid-20s. And I was lucky I had a long time left on my contract. I'd signed like, I think I signed like a 5.5-year contract 6 months before I'd got injured. So I had time, so they looked after me. I'll always be grateful for him to that. And then, so my biggest thing at City were getting back in and playing. Last season I was there, 2006, 2007, getting back in and played that full season just about. And that, I class that as my biggest achievement in football, because
coming back,
I was gone. I was absolutely gone.
Were it tough, like mentally?
You know, when I look back, because it were all the same, it all just blurs into one.
Yeah.
But I just used to, I put everything into my rehab.
You were being tipped for England before then, weren't you?
Yeah. I soon sorted that out.
What netball?
Tiddlywinks. But no, so yeah, so it sort of altered me right in my sort of prime years and sort of took away. I didn't play for like 3 years. I played one game in 3 years, I think. So it sort of altered me sort of peak years, sort of like 23 to 26, 27. I barely played. And that was most of the time when Kevin Keegan were there. And I got fit under Stuart Pearce and, you know, I played.
So Gwen, you mentioned Ben Thatcher.
Fucking hell.
Character.
Fucking the greatest lad I think I've ever met. He was fucking brilliant lad. Absolutely. All lads loved him. But he was a fucking, he just used to do the most stupid stuff. I mean, you've seen his tackles and all that. So yeah. I remember that one with Pedro Mendes when he fucking wiped him out.
Were you like, were that's way out like?
Not really. He just, people thought he was a bit of an hard man, and he'll openly admit he weren't. He just sort of had a skinhead and a bit of a cockney boy and all that, and just sort of, he played hard. He was, you know, a bit tough in tackle, but he was just an idiot. But a likeable idiot, a good idiot, like. And he used to, he always fucking used to have a piss up against Bar when you went out. every time. So I remember being in this bar in Manchester. I'm stood next to him. He's gone, Weaver, I've just had a fucking piss. And you're thinking, oh, for fuck's sake. So we've gone and sat down at his table. Next minute, a man and woman come and stood just next to us. He takes his jacket off, this bloke, and puts it on the floor. So I'm thinking, oh, for fuck's sake. So this piss is trickling down. Like, you know, it's like, we're probably about 6 or 7 pints in here, so it's probably first one, but it were a good one. Probably a good 2 pints within it, you know what I mean?
You see it getting closer and closer.
So after about 20 minutes, they must have finished the drink. And he's picked his jacket up, this bloke, and he says to his missus, he went, oh, fucking hell, someone spilled a drink on my jacket. It's not a fucking drink that much. It might have been a drink fucking half an hour ago. It's not a drink now.
And Ben Thatcher's pissed it back.
Oh, and then you'd be in shower and you'd be there like with fucking, you know, insignia all over you, and then next minute you'd feel something warm up your leg and you'd turn around and they'd be pissing up your leg. And you're like, oh, for fuck's sake. And then he used to shall we say, you know, leave the kit man little deliveries around the little presents around the training ground.
Wrapped.
And he'd like, they had a kit room, like a storage room with like loads of boots, new pet, like boots as far as I could see, like stacked up 2 or 3 deep, all new kit, everything, boots, trainers. So he'd take like a pair of boots out, put them like under some kit, have a shit in shoebox, and then like slot it back in. He wouldn't tell a soul. So like a day and a half later, you're just here, this would be Les Chapman, kit man, he's struck again. He's fucking struck again. The fucking dirty animal. He's done it again.
Did he know it were Thatcher?
Oh,
or
well,
like a phantom chicken?
No, everyone knew it was Thatcher. So we'd fucking come running round. Where is it? And he's done it again. The fucking animal. But it had been fermenting for like 24, 36 hours. And fucking Kitman would be like, oh my God. And I'm... It was just fucking, it was so, he just had this, he got away with doing things like that. And he once dropped one in my fucking locker. So I've gone to my locker and I can see him fucking, he had this smirk on him. And I could have thought, what's he fucking done now? I opens my locker. There's a fucking, oh, and he'd done it in like, he took, you know, like that tracing paper you get in bottom shoebox. He'd done it on paper and put paper in my locker. He fucking stank my locker out, you know what I mean? You're like, for fuck's sake. But
You could, one of them you couldn't get mad at him.
No, because it was just a great fella.
That cheeky grin.
Yeah, and everyone, it was just funny. And he'd batter you, fucking dad, he'd give your fucking brother something, give your missus, he'd just batter anybody. And I remember we went on pre-season tour to China. And he wiped a kid out there and all. Another Mendes-esque challenge.
Just never got to see.
No, we played Shanghai Shenhua. So, old Chinese
fans. Was that a card game?
They were sort of perfect elbow height for him, you know what I mean? So he's gone smashing into the fullback. He's gone bang. So that forearm smashed it. Next day, there's a picture of this kid on a drip on fucking back at Faker. So, anyway, so we've played a game. We played against... Who else did we play against? They were like a 4-team tournament and... We probably finished fucking bottom. And we've gone back to hotel. We're flying up next morning. And someone said to Stuart Pearce, manager, I think Richard Dunwoodie, captain at the time, he's gone to Pearce. He's like, I'd like to go out for a drink, Gaffer. He went, no. So I'm like, oh, fucking hell.
One of them where you thought, we need to ask, but we don't really want to, in case he says no, because then you're
so
fucking
you're
about
fucking
it.
Night, so anyway.
It sounds like this story's going, there were no point in asking.
It's courteous, isn't it? You've got to be polite, haven't you? You know what I mean? So we've gone to Kitman's room, Chappie, which, like, you know what it's like on a away trip, like, you congregate in Kitman. It's a bit of a social physio room, Kitman's room. They're like social clubs, aren't they? And he had some like fucking whiskey and some fucking vodka and a few beers and that. So they were me, Ben Thatcher, Paul Dickoff, Didier Mann, Stevie Jordan, Richard Dunn.
Big kit room.
Yeah, some big lads and all. And so anyway, we're in there. We've had a few. Gets to like fucking 2 in the morning. We're like, fuck it, we're going out. See what fucking crack is. So we've ended up going into this, this bar club thing. Like, chat, it was weird. Middle of Shanghai, so it's, you know, we stuck out like fucking, so fucking 6'4" blonde hair, like, you know what I mean?
We don't think he's from around here.
You're not going to blend in, are you? And so we've gone into this, in this bar, and we've had a few more. And then after a bit, Stevie Jordan, another great lad.
I play with Stevie at Fleetwood.
Yeah, good lad, Steve, innit? But again, he got a little bit of a screw loose. And he's jumped on pool table. And he's got these like 3/4 length. We're in his Man City gear, by the way. We've not got a Sippy song. So.
So to be fair, that was my best.
That was my Reebok. That was my best gear at the time. So we're in this bar. And he gets on pool table. And then I'm thinking, what the fuck's he doing? So he stood up in the middle of the pool, and then I could see this wet coming down from midriff, and he starts pissing himself on this pool table. So everyone's like, what the fuck's he doing? So Dunny's like, Stevie, get fucking down, you idiot. So he gets off, like, he's half pissing himself, literally. He gets off, and everyone's, what the fuck are you doing? He went, well, everyone laughs when Thatch does it. But like I was saying, Thatch just had this way about how he sort of did things, you know. It was just funny with everything. And Stevie were like, I don't know, they played it, they were left backs. I don't know if he tried to, you know, outdo Thatch or whatever, but it just weren't funny when Steve did it. It was way Thatch did things. But
I think he used to like, he'd be stood like, obviously, you know, the stand up pisser. And you used to stand there and you used to having a piss, mind your own business. And Stevie Jordan used to come round you. And he'd cut both his hands together, and he'd just piss into his hands, and he'd just go, and he'd drink it. Yeah, have you really just done that, mate? And he's like, and bearing in mind, he's 33, 34 now, we're fucking married with two kids, you know what I mean? And he just stood having a piss, and he just come around, cups it, and
good
fucking
blend.
Walk off.
Good
mine probably had froth on.
He would have fucking loose cannon, Steve, as well. Good lad, though. Great lad. I think he went to Huddersfield on loan, and they ended up sending him back because he shat in captain's fucking boot. So he's coming after training. He's fucking dropped a mix in a pair of fucking Umbros or whatever. Hooked him back on peg. Kitman's gone to clean him. I don't know if hand went in or what. Or he smelt it before he got there. And I think Lee Clark was manager, and he fucking went mental.
Weren't having any of it.
Fucking said he went back to Sheffield United.
Okay,
sent back from your loan for shitting at Captain Boat.
He's a physio now, Steve, but again, fucking great lad, but again, he was one at gang who weren't quite right, you know.
Speaking of Thatches, were you there when Stephen Ireland rocked up with his new weave?
Well,
because you were like one at first, and it was sort of, it were interesting.
It was sort of,
What a player, by the way.
Yeah.
As a talent, you've got a little bit of a look of him, by the way, in his early
days. He's drop dead fucking ugly and all.
But an absolute... But he was from Cork, which is, you know, it's not Dublin, is it? Yeah. They're a little bit backward out there. No offence to anyone who's from Cork. Like, but so he come over and it was like an unbelievable... I'm not going to call
this year, we've got a big fan base in Cork, I think.
I knew you were going to say that. Great place, Cork. Been loads of time. No, anyway, so great player, Steve. As good a feat as I've ever seen. His career's... He's had a good career, but it should have been... It could have gone right to the top.
Yeah.
And he sort of come in one day and I'm fucking looking at him and we're thinking... And he's like got new fucking teeth and new hair. And we're like, we're trying to look at, you know, when you can't work stomach out, you're thinking.
Just come back from pre season with.
No! So like,
it's just an overnight.
Yeah, he fucking hell. He must have been glued down well because he fucking had no hair on Saturday, had a full fucking bonnet on Monday morning. He fucking defying medical science, you know what I mean? But again, another good lad, just. A little bit different, shall we say, but as a talent...
Because he used to have, like, pink Range Rovers.
I'd gone at this point when he started to get stupid.
Yeah.
But he, yeah, he had pink Range Rovers and fucking diamonds, this and... Oh, and he just...
Pink, a pink Range Rover?
Yeah, pink trims on it, pink alloys, and it was, you know...
Like fucking Katie Price, man.
He's a nice kid, he was just not on planet.
Yeah.
And then, like you said before, you got your place back in the City team, and then you went to Charlton.
To be fair, I'd agreed... a new two-year contract at City with an option of a third and a testimonial and all that. I meant to sign it. Day after the season finished, we played away at Tottenham, got beat, Stuart Pearce gets sacked next day. So I got a phone call off chief executive club saying, listen, you're meant to be coming and sign your contract today. We've just sacked Stuart Pearce. News is just breaking. We can't do anything for a couple of days because obviously this is, you know, blah, blah, blah. So I'm like, okay, fine. But it's all agreed, shook on. No issues with me whatsoever. I think it had been released in press that I'd agreed it and everything. Yeah. And yeah, anyway, as time went on, a week had passed, I said, well, can I come in and sign that? No, yeah, club's up for sale now. So, oh, no, well, what's happening with that? Well, we've got to buy it. It just take a couple of weeks to go for it. I said, well, I'm going on holidays tomorrow. We're going on holidays, come back, you sign. It'll all get backdated, so it's no, you know, so I'm thinking, yeah, fine. You know what it's like, you've shook on it, you. And then after a bit, I come back off my holidays, put about 2 stone off.
You're one of them holidays, you know what I mean?
And
you've not had a fucking proper holiday if you've not put a couple of stone on, have you?
Desperate to get shit last couple of days to lose it all.
Is that chicken raw?
Yeah,
fucking put it on my plate.
So I comes back and then it's like, yeah, another 10 days, sale's gonna go through. So he's got a taxi in Shinawatra. Remember when he took over. And anyway, this went on and on and on. And after a bit I'm thinking, they've got no manager, they've got no like owner because it's in transition. Chief exec saying, want you to stay? I'm thinking, well, fuck it. Then next minute, Sven Goran Eriksson's getting rumoured to taking over. And I'm thinking, well, fucking hell, that's fucking no good for me because they've got a Swedish goalie there. He's going to favour him.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking, fucking hell. Meantime, agents like saying, we need to start having a... It got announced that I was going to sign, you see. So it weren't in public that I were available.
Yeah.
And I'd had, you know, all right season, should we say. You know, I'd like to think I'd have been all right to get a club sort of thing. So anyway, I'd gone up golfing. They talked to a few other clubs that we couldn't get outdone. And I didn't really want to leave City. I really didn't. And then I went golfing in north of Scotland and I'm hanging out of this fucking restaurant window.
I'm trying to my work, fucking having a cup of coffee then fucking splash it all over you.
Hanging out at what, bedroom window? Hanging out at a restaurant window because I couldn't get a signal. So I'm like hanging out of this window. And his manager's saying, right, this is like Sunday night or something. He's saying, Charlton want to take you. I say, I ain't fucking going to London. Alan Pardew has been on, really wants to, really keen. They're having a right go. They've just been relegated from Premier League. So they've been in Premier League for years. They've like just sold Darren Bent and they recouped a lot. So they're having a right go to some pre-season favourites to win league. So I'm still thinking, I don't fucking fancy it. I fucking Alan Pardew's a bit of a flash, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I thought, I don't fancy it. Don't fancy it. And the next minute, I've got my fucking mate on phone, Anna Thatcher. Who would fucking sign there in January? Fucking get down here, Weaves, you fucking love. I'm like, I'm too northern for all this. It's like, Gaffer's great, like, you'll love him, he's fucking, you'll be all. I'm thinking, nah, all that fucking flash fuckers down there, I'm thinking, it's not for me. So my agent's like, wait, we'll go down and see what he's got to say. So we've gone down on this Wednesday and had a chat with him, and he's come out, par, his fucking pinstripe suit on, all that, hair slick back. Yeah, fucking old gear on, and he's giving it
everything
all
that, everything that you didn't want to go anywhere
near. But I thought, he's talking to me like, I'm thinking. And I got like a geezer here telling me he's all over me, really wants me, what he likes about my game, how he sees me fitting in. And I'm thinking, yeah, I fucking like this fella. And I've got these fuckers at City saying, yeah, we still want to do it. But they weren't really showing, if they'd have wanted to do it, they'd have made it happen.
Yeah.
And I thought, fuck it. So we're going down on Wednesday morning. I ain't signing for this. Saying to my agent, I don't know why we're coming. I ain't signing for that. We in half an hour had fucking signed. So that were it. I'd fucking signed. Oh, look, fucking hell. So I literally shot back,
shot back up.
Sven Gronexen tried to ring me that night, and then that was it. I never
answer it.
Where Richard Dunn ended up ringing me, saying, "Oh, Sven's been, he wants you to come in." So I said, "I've just signed for Charlton." He's going, "You're kidding? He fucking wants you in." I said, "Well, I fucking signed, and that's it." And it was the biggest mistake I ever made.
Yeah.
But at the time, I felt it was the right thing to do. Because for all I know, I could have gone into City, trained a couple of days or something, got injured, and then, you know, I'm up Creek without a paddle, aren't I? So anyway, I signed for Charlton. We're pre-season favourites to win league. Win 2 years, I got us relegated.
You know what I mean? So I've got us relegated.
I mean, one or two other players will probably take a bit of responsibility, but, you know. But I'll never forget my first day down there. So I knew a couple of lads, like Luke Young were there. I'd played in the 21s with him, and Jody Morris were on trial, and Thatcher, obviously, I'm big mates with Thatcher, he were there. So I've gone in on my first day, and I got introduced to a few people, and I just hear this, "Hey, big man!" I thought, oh, turns around, it's Jerome Thomas. Remember, winger?
Yeah.
Fucking some talent, by the way. He's gone, "Hey, big man, have you parked in the 12 dog?" I went, "The 12 dog? Oh, the number 12 parking bar." I went, yeah, I think so. He went, "That's mine, innit? It's for the Bentley, innit?" I'm going, "Oh, no." I said, "I didn't realise you had to park in your squad number." I didn't realise. I said, "Oh, sorry, mate." He went, "Don't let it happen again. I'll let it go because it's your first day, mate, innit? But next time I'll reprimand you." I'm thinking, who's it? I'm thinking, what sort of fucking establishment have I joined here?
I'll reprimand you.
Yeah, and I'm thinking, anyway, end up being a really good lad, JT. Just a great, great lad. And I'm thinking, fucking hell. And he kept going on about this Bentley. He's going, "Yeah, I got a Bentley, man, innit? It's got a leather roof." And that's how he was just saying, you know, you're thinking, "You fucking what? I'm from fucking Sheffield, pal. I'm fucking watching me having a fucking leather roof." But yeah, and then I remember we had a meeting. We signed loads of players that summer because, you know what it's like, get relegated, new manager, yeah. Clear out, a load of new ones in. And we had a meeting on Monday. He named the team on the Monday before first game on the Saturday, which is really early, isn't it?
Yeah,
you know yourself, Parky. Only time I've ever known it, because you've got rest of the squad, it's fucking...
Heads up their arse for the rest of the week, aren't they?
So we've walked out of this meeting room Monday morning, and JT, Jerome Thomas, is best mates with Lloyd Sam. So they're walking out. Jerome's not playing. So Jerome still thinks he's like a Premiership player. So he's not playing, so he's going, Lloyd, can you believe it? Me, sub in the Championship. Can you believe it, Lloyd? Me in the Championship, Lloyd. And then you've got Lloyd Sam going, "Oh, no, bruv, it's fucking disgrace, bruv. You're the boy, bruv." Giving it all that, you know, it's like...
And surreal.
Yeah, and I'm just thinking, what fucking planet am I on here? And then, like, it was just funny, JT. And then we've gone out one night and for a change, like, and he and Bright Lights London, it's fucking different down there. Like, you know, the first time I'd ever seen people have tables when you go out. "We'll get a table." "Well, oh, just stand at bar, mate." "Yeah, we've got a table." I'm going, "Well, I'm happy enough at fucking bar, like."
Yeah. Oh, it's
and I'm going, "Ah, right." You know what I mean?
The fucking people pissing up them. I've seen it all before.
I'll tell you, you're number fucking 79 when you're in Witherspoon's or in your snap. Yeah, what table? Can I get that one? Just chicken, please. At table 79, thank you very much.
So at this sort of do, and it were a free bar. So JT's gone up to this bird, he's chatting to this bird, I'm fucking tabanging, like. And he's gone, "Hey, like, I know, like, it's a free bar, so I can't buy you a drink or anything, but can I buy you a house or a car or anything like that?" And you're thinking, fucking hell, fucking hell, put that straight in back pocket for later. And they were fucking ones.
He writes his checks out of his
mouth. He fucking loves it, JT. But a great kid. He's like, he sounds like a twat, but it was just funny. And he had this like squeaky voice, like, I probably sound not like him, but that's how he sounded to me. Especially after a few pints. And
can I buy you a house or a car?
Can I buy you an house or a car or anything like that? And then next minute we're telling about his fucking Bentley with leather roof. It's got a leather roof. And fucking hell, and then he's in this nightclub one time. He's on like a balcony, don't they? Like on the end of a booth or something. And he's pulled a wad of 20s out. And he's fucking making it rain, isn't he?
You know, he thinks he's fucking Pete, didn't he? And he's going, Lloyd, Lloyd, look. To Lloyd Sam, like, look at all the peasants scrambling for the 20s. I were fucking one of them. I'm thinking I'll have a bit of that fucker.
Out of way. Yeah, fucking running that. Downstairs.
Lloyd, Lloyd, look at the peasants scrambling for the 20s. And you're thinking, fucking hell, we're all right here. You know, I'm as northern as they come, like you lads. And fucking hell, you go down there and it's just... And it's, you think they flash at first, but they're not. It's just how they are. I mean, just knock about with lads. I say knock about with lads. New lads who like lived on the road. I lived on that, and they'd have like, they'd live at home with a mum and dad. They wouldn't have a car. They'd have an 8 grand watch on.
Yeah, yeah.
And girls would have £1,000 handbag, and that's the most. It's all about image, and that's the most important thing. We're up here. It's just not. We're not bothered about that sort of stuff, are we?
As long as you can get a pint, you're right, aren't you?
Yeah, but it were an eye opener. And Alan Pardew, at manager, like who I ended up, you know, I got well. More or less going single-handedly. But no, we were nice bloke pods. And when I went there, I went down there with full of hope and everything, how it was going to work out. And it just didn't work out. I played last season and a half, and then Phil Parkinson took over. Have you worked with Parkinson?
Yeah, I worked with Parkinson at all.
What's that grin for?
With his fucking clipboard. You never walk around with his clipboard all the time. Fucking hell, fire. He once said to me, do you realise how lucky you are to be a footballer? I said, fuck off. He says, what do you mean? I says, I'm not lucky. He says, I've worked my fucking balls off. He won't have it. He went adamant I was lucky to be a footballer. and if it had said it to anybody else, fair enough, but I actually really were lucky. I don't think you're meaning footballers in general, you're meaning you are lucky to be a footballer. Like, fucking hell, not wrong.
As soon as Wednesday come in, were you like,
oh,
yes.
Fucking hell. I turned a few... He rung me up, Rhodesy, and says, right, what are you doing? I'd come out of contract at Burnley.
So I said, I'm out.
I'm just having a drink. Is that? Where do you think I am?
I'm just in fucking spying on me.
I'm just in fucking black ball. Is that all right?
And, got a table.
He's like, mate, we want to take you. Spoke to Alan, want to do it. I'm like, oh, fucking, I can't believe. Just had a little baby girl, moved back to Sheffield. I'm like 31 at the time, so I'm thinking, oh, fucking, couldn't believe it. Clear my supported as a boy, I played the role. Brilliant, couldn't believe it. Then he's like, we've just got to get rid of Granty first. Lee Grant, I'm thinking. Burnley are in for him. So I'd just left Burnley. So I know they need a keeper. One better than me. This took then, from them selling Grant, it took about a month. So I'm getting offers from, not great offers, Lyle said I took them, wouldn't I? But I'm getting interest from other clubs, like biggest, no, Wednesday in League One at the time, I could have moved to clubs in Championship, two or three. And I put everything on back burner because I wanted this Wednesday thing to happen. And then Granty went, fucking hell, sorry, mate Rosie, what's happening? Alan Irvine's asked me to get a list of goalies together now that's available. I'm thinking, don't do this. I'm thinking, I thought it were mine, like. But I suppose he's only doing what's right. So I thought, fuck it, sorry, Rosie. I said, can I come up training tomorrow? He's like, I suppose. This was like one night. So I thought, fuck it, I just jumped in my car, shot straight up Sheffield, just turned up next morning. I'm in good condition. So, but I knew what people would think. I'd fucking balloon.
You wanted to flaunt the guts.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't go in Irvine's office with my fucking vest on, like, you know what I mean?
Not like fucking David James.
I fucking didn't. Might have been David Jason, but not fucking David James. But
or fucking Clive James.
So I ended up going up seeing them and ended up signing for Wednesday, which, brilliant. I couldn't believe it. And I signed literally on Thursday before the season started. I went straight into team.
Yeah.
And I was just unbelievable. Moved back home after all them years and, you know, to playing for the team. It was just brilliant.
You come back a bit of a flash bastard after all that influence.
Nah, not really. I think getting relegated and knocked stuff in at me a bit. I went from one extreme to other. Fucking hell. I went from Charlton. I went
to Dundee.
Yeah. I went to Dundee. Well, like, fucking
hell. No Bentleys in Dundee.
No. So, fucking hell. I went up there. I said to him, I didn't take my car up. I says to Craig Levine, manager of Dundee, I says, can you get me a car? So he's like, yeah, what do you want? I said, oh, as long as it's big. Thinking they'd get me like a BMW or something. Fucking next day, so car's on the front of you. When I, it's a fucking Mondeo. I thought, fucking hell. Time's a tag on from a fucking Aston Martin to a fucking Mondeo in about 3 fucking weeks. You know, thinking,
welcome to Dundee.
Hey, one of the best cars in Dundee, that Mondeo. But yeah, so it were good. So I've gone from one extreme to the other. Everyone were flashed down in London. It was just how it is down there. And then
in Dundee, just nobody were, and there were no real big hitters at club, and it was just a good bunch of lads, and and that was more my kind of dressing room than sort of ones like down south, if you like. But yeah, then obviously moving on to Wednesday, I went to Wednesday and started playing there, and it were brilliant. I sort of loved coming back to Wednesday and sort of living out my childhood dream, which I'd been on loan there. I played 14 games, 2005-2006, but to go there and sign permanently were brilliant for me.
Clinton Morrison there, he didn't get any guns out, did he?
Clinton. I'll never forget. We signed Clinton Morrison, Neil Mellor. So we signed some good players.
Yeah.
Tried signing me. I nearly signed in January.
I know, I remember. Because I'm thinking, fucking hell, we are at Inquiry, weren't we? This was just after a Dublin trip. But I remember I'd only been there like a day, and what Clinton used to do. Clinton, I mean, you love Clinton, don't you? Used to winding Clinton up. What Clinton used to do, right, if someone had just signed, he's sort of straight up to him, sort of, yeah, all right, bro, how are you doing? Giving it all that, like, yeah. And he's going, all right, Weaves, how are you doing, pal? Yeah, all right, oh, yeah. Remember when I knocked one pasture at Main Road and all this, giving you all that? You're like, yeah, I remember, Clint, like, you know. And then he's going, oh, bro, man, I can't believe I've dropped down to League One. I'm going to get 30 this season, innit? I'm going to get at least 30 goals here. I'm going to win Golden Boot. He got fucking 6. But he'll still try and tell you it was 26, like. But he was a good lad, Clint. Like, I thought it was going to be a bit of a helmet, like, because he talked outside of his mouth and all that. But it was. I like Clinton. I didn't think I'd get on with Clinton, but he was a bit had a Jerome Thomas mould at times. But he was a good lad, Clinton.
Said it exactly the same thing.
Yeah. I remember being on team bus, and then Clinton and Giles Corker having an argument. Remember Giles?
Yeah. Okay.
So they having an argument at back at coach. Who could get the other one shot quickest? Oh, I get it shot in 45 minutes, bro. Yeah, I get it done in 30 minutes, bro. And you're like, what the fuck? They've been watching too many fucking films, haven't they? And you're just like, what the fuck? What planet are these fuckers on here?
He's like, I fucking know Joey Martin last year.
Get Joey around, he'll pop a fucking cap in your ass. But yeah, fucking hell.
Mexican coming after everybody.
Yeah, so fucking hell. So Alan Irvine got another one, we got psyched. And, but yeah, Alan Irvine, nicest bloke, probably nicest manager I've ever played for. Great coach, not sure he was like a manager, which is more of a coach, wasn't it? You'll know that yourself. And yeah, so Mego come in, so it was chalk and cheese. Oh, fucking Gary Megson comes in, fucking hell. So I'll be first one in after warm up. So first fucking game, you're thinking, fucking hell, what's that smell? Oh, ah, fucking brandy. He's got a bottle of brandy, uncle. So he'd have a couple of slurps of brandy. He'd come in. And then he'd be getting into lads before game and all this. And he used to go fucking ready, be fucking steep. He used to go into like a trance, mate. Nicest man all week, pretty quiet, on training pitch or on a game. He'd go into a trance, just go fucking mental. And we'd never seen it like it when it first happened. But after a bit, you sort of got used to it. Oh, here he fucking goes again. And we've come in at half time and he's going on about this and that. And he said, remember Miguel Lira, centre half, Spanish lad?
Yeah.
Good looking fucker, like, you know what I mean? Had that stroke, bit of a wand of a left foot. He's gone, Miguel! Next time we get a fucking corner, get up there, get your big fucking head on it and fucking score, you Spanish onion. So fucking lads, you know you've got, he's like having a go, I'm thinking, has he just called him a fucking Spanish onion? And you're fucking pissing yourself, like, you're thinking that, we fucking all right. It's El Miguel, like, speaks a bit of broken English, but what's he on about? And then we had another one. He'd not been played it League Cup, and it won't fucking tell it. Thursday night, and we were playing on the Saturday away at Bournemouth. So he changed the complete team. He didn't want anyone playing Thursday night. We were going to play Saturday, which is understandable. It's fucking stupid when you think about it, really, isn't it? So he changed. So I'm on bench. And do you remember Daniel Jones?
Yes, with the tattoo on his chest.
Yeah, he had a tattoo on his chest. It said Believe, right? But he used to wear these low cut tops, and you could just see BEL, so it looked like Bell. Which wouldn't be far off. You know what I mean? But he was a good lad, DJ, and he loved himself. He was fucking ripped, good looking fucker, like, fucking fancied himself with up birds and all that. And so I'm on bench, like, fucking 70 minutes gone or something, and DJ comes fucking, like, he's like hobbling about. Comes hobbling over to fucking bench. Gaffer, I'm struggling. And Mego went, what with your fucking technique? Now fuck off and start running around. So he's fucking up with about DJ. You're thinking, fucking hell.
With your technique.
So about 10 minutes later, he's gone down. He's had to come off. Went for a scan. He's fucking broke a bone in his foot. And then goes... And you know, when you look back, you think, fucking hell.
That's what Meg was like. He was fucking funny, like, and he used to go off on one. But and it's funny that, because I remember that game at Preston on Box Day, which we were on about with Spanish Union. I'm in first. Neil Thompson comes in, who was our first team coach, about 3:15, and lads were in like a minute. He must have sprinted in. He says, gaffer, lads, they're not on it out there. Warm up were fucking shit. They're passing were sloppy. So Meg goes, going, right, I'll have the cunts. Lads walks in. Right, fucking sit down, you lot. Fuck what you're doing. Fuck your tape. Fucking sit down. So they're like, fucking hell, listen, that's fucking dog shit. I was fucking watching. It's fucking not good enough. You've got to liven up. You pull your fucking finger out, or you'll sat with me after 5 minutes. And fucking you, after last week's one, you better pull your fucking finger out. Fucking liven up. Not good enough. You're passing with shit. This is going on. I'm thinking, fucking head's going to hang. I'm sat there, me thinking, fucking hell. So I've gone for a piss. Next minute, Megos come and stood next to me. Fucking give me a nudge. Winked at me and went, that should liven them fuckers up. Have a laugh at himself, like, you know, but it was just some of the things he used to fucking say, and he'd be like foaming at mouth. But we got results and we got promoted that year. Mm-hmm. Dave Jones took over with like 12 or 14 games to go, but Mego got us in position to get promoted. He fell out with chairman Milan Mandarić. His last ever game, we beat Sheffield United 1-0 at Hillsborough, and I think he knew we were getting sacked because he fucking ran up pitch. Get it, one of them to cop and all that, yeah. And then he got bullied next day. A great guy, but he's just probably from a different era now. But one of the managers that I sort of love playing under, because they were no great for me. It were great. Weaves, get it, fucking shell it. If you try and pass that short, you're fucking off. It were one of them. There were no great areas. There were none of these passing out bollocks. His philosophy were fucking get it up there, fucking win at all costs, and it were fucking great. Like, you know,
I
remember a time I just signed for Charlton, and we played you. Saturday tea time kickoff.
Stoke.
At Stoke.
Yes.
Did you beat us 2-1?
2-1, our score winner.
You know that. And so he comes on a sub, didn't he?
Yeah.
And all crowd going beast and all that. And it's 1-1 at time, wasn't it? They weren't long to go. One of my best mates, Paddy McCarthy, who were playing for Charlton at the time, and he sort of turned Paddy inside out a bit, wriggled past him and fucking twatted him.
I think I him actually.
Yeah,
I think I
you stood him up, didn't you?
I put it like, I made a little darting run into the box, and somebody slipped me in, and I've just fucking chopped it with the outside of my right foot through his legs, and I just slid it in far corner. Boom, job done.
Obviously, it's gone in. And, end of game, we've lost 2-1, and fucking Paddy's fucking spewing. Pards had a fucking dug him out a bit, give him a bit. And we're like, fucking, I've had a bit of a shit start to the season here, lads, because that was second game, I think. We drew first one at home to fucking Scunthorpe, you know, promoted to, you think, fucking hell. So we go that night, we get back to London, me and Paddy's like, fuck it, we'll go out. No, it's like fucking 10 o'clock back, fuck it, we're out. So we've fucking gone out. And Paddy's like, he's fucking spewing. He's like, I can't fucking accept that, Weaves. I can't fucking have that from myself. I've just ordered a new fucking Range Rover. I can't fucking have it. I'm going to fucking cancel it. Monday morning, he cancelled his fucking Range Rover. On back of park, he fucking turned him inside out.
What, you got a Skoda Fabia?
He got on bus. Must have been a low point in his career. But he was just spewing on it all night going, I can't fucking have that. I can't accept that. He's fucking out of order. He's fucking wriggled me inside that. He's fucking done this, done that. Anyway, I think he fucking uncancelled his cancellation next day. But yeah. And I remember the great man who's not here, the GOAT as he calls himself. I remember we played it when I was at Charlton, obviously, against Preston. And we were like in and out playoffs. So Preston, so quite a big game at Championship at the time. And Alan Pardew doing his team meeting before. I don't think you started, Parky. That probably don't come as a surprise, but I don't think you started. No, I don't think you did, because I knew it was Brownie. And Pardew meeting before.
I must have been, if he were playing in front of me, I must have been fucking injured.
You must have been that. Or suspended. And he says, team meeting, he's going, right, he can hurt us, fucking Chaplin on wing, and fucking blah, 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 and I think it were Whaley on, would that be right, Whaley?
Yeah.
And McKenna, he's like, he will pull strings, he went, they've got Brown up front, he went, you know, he's all right, but he's not really a goal threat. Anyway, we fucking lost 2-1, he scored them both. And they were fucking worldies and all. He's fucking dragged one, like, from behind him, and then turned around and twat like Dennis fucking Burke. It was brilliant, he were.
He's not really a goal.
But that was like Alan Pardew. If you weren't having anyone at opposition, he'd sort of tell you, like, fuck, I'm not having him, like. But then, I think it's dangerous to do that before a game. Especially with a forward. I never like saying their goalkeeper's not the best, because you'll end up having a worldie, like, you know.
So out of his fucking 7 career goals, he scored 2 of them last year.
been his last two ever goals, you know.
Yeah, probably were. Nah, to be fair, he scored a few at Donny, didn't he? He scored a few at Donny. Yeah,
but I remember that and I thought, fucking hell. And that were one of the defeats that sort of dented our playoffs over, I think. But
were your best times then? Man City, Sheffield Wednesday?
Yeah, Man City, obviously. I had 10 years there. So it was just... And I played in different eras there. I played when we were shit, but we had promotions. And then I played there, went bigger to sort of come. Your Steve McManamans, your Anelkas, your Peter Schmeichels, your Siemens, your all them sort of great, great players. So I saw... I was there 10 years. I saw... There must have been hundreds of players come through the roundabout, if you like, as it were then. But yeah, that was all out of my career. 18 to 28, sort of main bulk of my adulthood as well, really. Yeah. So it was,
even though you were injured for three,
two and a half, 3 years, but it was just great. And like I said, my biggest achievement, I think, we're getting back in team after I'd been injured. But you know, wouldn't change anything about any of my time, even my injuries, because that's, you know, that card you dealt, and you've got to fucking get on with it, haven't you? And you know, it is what it is. Things might have been different if I got injured, but sort of no regrets about that. And then, like I said, moving to Wednesday, just so to play at Man City for like 10 years, and then to play for my boyhood team Wednesday, which I still work at now, it's just absolutely brilliant. And so when you look back, you don't appreciate everything until you finish. Obviously, Parky, you're still going, but when you take stock and look back, and you know, you just remember everything. And I'm so grateful for everything. That only thing I wish is my kids would have been a bit older to sort of see me play, because I don't even think they think I'm a footballer. Like, you know, my dad, the granddad, tells them bits and bobs, but they're not really that interested. You know what I mean? But yeah, that's probably the only thing that I would have liked. But yeah, some sort of great memories and stuff.
Arctic Monkeys are Oasis, then, if you like your games.
Well, I'm going to see Monkeys next week in Sheffield.
But at Chester Zoo.
Fucking hell, you've been waiting for that one. But yeah, but to be fair, probably Oasis, because they when I was 15, 16, they were like a phenomenon. And, you know, I were lucky enough to meet them a few times and what have you. Yeah, so went to a couple of gigs and, you know, sat with them at games and stuff. And yeah, so brilliant. Yeah, I love them.
Always been into music as well as
yeah, I take it or leave it with music. I like it, like a bit of 80s stuff. Sonic Time, my haircut looks decent. Jason Donovan, quick. Curtains are going to be back in soon, you know.
I'm deeply that's all I'm getting. Right, said Fred.
As long as you're not fucking dipping it too deep.
Oh, we've superb, mate.
Yeah, thank you very much for that, mate.
Thanks a lot.
Cheers, lads. Enjoyed it. Come back next week if you want.
We'll get Chez Long in.
Who's he play for?
Is that fucking Shane's brother?
I'm gonna say.
Oh, cheers for listening. Live show coming up.
Yeah, so if you're in the area and fancy coming and watching this live.
Yeah, should be a laugh. A few beers after.
Thursday night, pal, innit? So I'll not be able to. Yeah. You know.
You'll have to leave it at about 10 pints,
won't you? Yeah. If it's Thursday, I can only do a gallon. But no, yeah. So it should be going. It's in aid of charity as well.
Yeah, all for Mind Foundation. So it's all for a good cause.
Mm-hmm. Should be good crap.
Keep an eye on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and
YouTube
again, and get us some more reviews on iTunes. Get us up that chart. That'd be nice.
Yeah, we'd like to get in the top 10. Eh?
Yeah. Cheers, waves.
Cheers, lads. Thank you.
Thanks a lot.